remember our evening services this evening at 6 o'clock. Brother Bill Parker will be bringing our message for us this evening. And remember that this Wednesday evening, we will not have a service here, July 14th. We will not have a service. This morning, Brother Roger Waybright is going to bring our message. Roger, if you don't know, Roger, on the fourth Sunday of every month, ministers at the Open Door Mission and has for many years. It's always a blessing to hear Roger bring the gospel. So, Roger, you come now.
It's a great privilege to be here to share God's word with you men and women. I pray it'll be a blessing to you. In fact, it's the same message I preached at the Open Door Mission on the fourth Sunday last month. We'll be in Luke chapter 9. It's from about the Mount of Transfiguration, which is a familiar story, but I hope to bring out some interesting points that'll be to your edification. If I could put a title to it, it'd be Hear Him. Why we should hear him and what does he have to say? Luke chapter 9, starting on verse 28. It says, and it came to pass after 8 days, about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close, and no man in those days, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Hear him is the message. Why we should hear him, and what does he have to say? Now, of course, I could read the whole Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to find what he has to say, and it's all blessing, all for our edification. So I just picked out some high points. But first, I want to see one reason why we're to hear him is because he's the one who all the law, the Psalms, and the prophets spoke of. That's why I like Luke's version of the Transfiguration. He talks about Moses and Elijah who appeared in glory. The law and the prophets are truly glorious when you see Jesus Christ in them. They shine with true glory when Christ is revealed in the law and the prophets. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now we'll turn to chapter 24 of Luke. And the familiar story of the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. You know, this is the first time in 16 years that I haven't had my other Bible to church with me. But it's getting so wore out I can't hardly turn the pages in it anymore. Chapter 24, and we can start on verse 24. You know the story. They're left, it's Cleopas and the other disciple. They're talking, and Jesus comes up, and he asks them, what are they talking about? And they're like kind of amazed, like, where have you been? You know, haven't you known what's happening in Jerusalem, that Jesus who was crucified? And he says in verse 21, we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now verse 25. Then he said, Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus is the glory of the prophets. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. He's talking to the disciples now, the apostles. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The glory of the law and the prophets and the Psalms is when we see Christ in him. That's the reason why we should hear him. Amen. Luke chapter 1, going backwards. Maybe I should have put them in a different order, but I didn't. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. This is the prophecy of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And his father, Zacharias, verse 67, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of all his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. You go all the way back, since the world began, all the prophets have testified of Christ. He's the glory. That's why I like Luke's version. They appeared in glory. The law and the prophets are glorified when Christ is seen in them. Amen. Now to Acts chapter 3. And like I tell the men at the mission, I like to use preponderance of scriptures to prove my point. You know, I don't want to use one scripture and then just opine on my own opinion. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Speaking of Christ again, he said, But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom heaven must receive unto the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Christ has always been the testimony. Amen. And when you see Christ in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, they just shine gloriously. You know, Christ is the sun, and there are the lesser stars, and they reflect his glory, if I may say so. And we see back in Luke chapter 9 that they spoke of his decease, which is his departure or his exodus, in which Christ would be truly glorified. So that's one reason we are to listen to Christ and hear what he has to say, because he is the fulfillment of all the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Another reason we should hear him, because of who he is. Amen. He's God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the prophets, unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Hear him, whom he hath appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. We are to hear him because of his glorious person. Amen. He's the brightness of the God's glory and the express image of his person, upholds all things by the word of his power. Colossians 1:15 says, kind of in the same language, is that he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church, or head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's why we're to hear him. He in all things has had the preeminence. Over the law and the prophets and the psalms, we're to hear and see Christ. Amen? Amen. Colossians 2, verse 9 continues, says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God manifest in the flesh, it says in 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Yeah. We are to hear him because of his person. Hear him, the Father spoke. He is the Word of God, the Logos, the second person of the divine Trinity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the Word. Why would we not want to hear him? Amen? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Hear him, the voice spoke from heaven. He is the Father's beloved Son, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It says another place in the scriptures when he came up out of the river Jordan, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him because of his person, because of who he is. We're to hear him, amen. He is that prophet, another reason, he is that prophet like unto Moses. Deuteronomy 18:18, and I'm trying not to go fast. I had a friend caution me. He says, Roger, you start going too fast. I could tell you a funny story about that down to Open Door Mission, but I'll pass on that. They're all used to it. Deuteronomy 18:18 says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. He says the same thing in Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Hear him in all things that he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Woe, oh, woe, not to heed the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, another reason we're to hear him is his words will judge us. His words will judge. John chapter 12, verse 48. It's kind of cheating, I guess, for me to print the words out and then expect you all to look it up real quick. But that's why I'm trying to go slower. I'm trying to heed my friend's advice. But I get on a roll and I can't hardly stop sometimes. John 12, verse 48. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Oh, we better give heed to him who is speaking. Amen. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. We're to listen to him, hear him. Amen. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father says unto me, so I speak. Hear him. That voice came up on the mount. Hear him. He has the words of life. John chapter 6. not only words that judge, but he has the words that gives life. John chapter 6, verse 63. He says, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and are life. We're to hear him because his words are life. Amen. We'll see that Peter responds on that. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Verse 65, and he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked in no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? Then Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Yeah. Hear him, amen. His words judge, his words are life. He is that prophet because of his personhood. And because number five fact we should hear him is because it's a commandment. Hear him. That's not a suggestion. Hear him. That's a commandment from the God who lives and dwells and reigns on high. Hear him. My beloved son, hear him. God in the flesh, hear him. Hear him. Now, what does he have to say that we should listen to? Like I said, I could read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and pick out and just stand up here and read. But I tried to pick out some things that would be for the edification and also challenge. You know, this message was for the men at the mission, and I don't assume that the men are saved when I go there, even though they're all supposed to be, and they'd all confess that they were. Hear him. What does he have to say? But first, let me give you a warning. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, he talks about the rain and the storm coming down upon the rock. The house is built on the rock and the house is built on the sand. And the difference between the house on the rock and the house on the sand is one who heard and did and one who heard and didn't do. So it's more than just hearing. There's a hearing and a doing. Amen. Yeah. Let's hear some of the things that Jesus has to say. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now that after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Hear him. Repent and believe the gospel. There's no other way. It's to our detriment if we reject his words. Amen. Hear him. Hear his what else does he have to say? He speaks of man not knowing God unless Christ reveals him, and this knowing is sovereignly dispensed, Matthew 11, verse 25. No man can know Christ and God the Father unless it's spiritually discerned, amen? Matthew 11, verse 25. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. He hid them from the wise and prudent, has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Lord, the Son, will reveal him. You're not going to, if you can read these scriptures from morning to evening, 365, till you can memorize every verse in the Bible. But unless the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and sees the truth of who he is and what is, unless he enlightens you, you're it's all vain. If the Son doesn't reveal the Father, you're never going to find him. By searching, you're never going to know God. Where are you going to look for him at? How are you going to know? Hear him. Hear him on man's inability, but God's effectual drawing. Matthew chapter 19, this is after the incident with the rich young ruler who went after him and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, And then he goes on to say, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, verse 25 of Matthew 19, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld and said unto them, with men this is impossible. Thank the Lord it didn't end there. But with God all things are possible. Matthew Henry on this says, who can be saved, says the disciples. None, saith Christ, by any created power. With men it's impossible. The wisdom of man would soon be nonplussed in contriving, and the power of man baffled in effecting the salvation of a soul. No creature can work the changes that is necessary to the salvation of a soul, either in himself or in anyone else. That's why I tell the men at the mission, I can't pray you into heaven. With men, it is impossible that so strong a stream should be turned, so hard a heart softened, so stubborn a will bowed. It is a creation. It is a resurrection. And with men, this is impossible. It can never be done by philosophy, medicine, or politics. But with God, all things are possible. The beginning, progress, and perfection of the work of salvation depends entirely upon the power of God himself. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 44. Man's inability, but God's effectual calling. But with God, all things are possible. We saw that in Matthew. John chapter 6, verse 44. He says, no man can come to me. The end. No, thank the Lord, it's not the end. Amen. Except, thank you for that word, except. Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. No man can come to me. It's beyond man's ability. Man can't do it himself. We just read that. Man has not the power to do so. No man, no man, no man. Not some men, maybe, who are advanced or more brilliant or wise. No man. Except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes unto me. Amen. So we hear him on God's effectual calling, on man's inability. Do we hear him on man's great need? You must be born again. You must be born again. There's a story that George Whitfield had a friend ask him one time, why do you stress so much that you must be born again? And he said, because you must be born again. Amen. You must be born again. That's not something you can do through a reformation or turning over a new leaf, going to AA or AAA or quadruple A. It's not something you can manufacture in your own life. It's not something you can do. A dead man can't make himself alive. You must be born again. It's imperative. You must be born again. Yeah. Hear him, Jesus says. You must be born again. Let's hear him on the exclusivity of salvation. Fancy word. John 14, verse 6. Jesus speaking says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's about as plain and simple as you can put it. No man. There's not another way. There's not a third way, a second way, or a fourth way. Men aren't making to heaven some other way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, I am the way. Not I'm going to tell you of your way or show you a way. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Men may try to get in a different way, but as I read the scriptures, there's only two roads, a broad road that leads to destruction and a narrow road that leads to life. Yeah. Now, on that broad road, there's many who think they're on the right way, but there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the way they're in, the end thereof is the way of death. The exclusivity of salvation. Jesus was very narrow-minded, you could say. but it's for our good to heed his words. You must be born again, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Yeah. Now let's hear him about true rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hear me, the Lord says. Amen. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I can't help but think about the woman in Luke who was bent down for 18 years, stooped over. That's how we were with our sin. We're carrying a heavy burden. We couldn't straighten ourselves up. But the Lord, the Lord says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. No matter how hard we tried to get rid of that burden, in fact, we made the burden heavier by trying to do it on our own power and strength and will. But Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. True rest, true rest, true rest. Rest is only found in Christ. No other thing in this world will give a man rest. We can hear the Lord about true spiritual satisfaction. Hear him about this. What does it take to be truly satisfied spiritually? John 6:35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Christ is the answer for all man's needs. He is to be the satisfaction of our souls. Even as Brother Streeter was sharing in the Sunday school class. He's to be our desire, our hope, our strength, our life, our all in all, because he said he would be. Amen? I am the bread of life, never hunger, never thirst. Complete spiritual satisfaction found only in Christ Jesus only. Hear him. We can hear about the certainty of our insecurity of our salvation. John chapter 6, verse 37. Hear him. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Not one of God's elect is going to miss the boat.
That's right.
And not one of God's elect is going to fall away. If that would be possible, that means Jesus failed to do God's will. I don't think people understand what that would mean. He would no longer be the good shepherd because he lost one of his sheep. Their security in Christ, their salvation in Christ, him only, him alone. Amen?
Amen.
All that the Father gives me shall come to me. That's why there's always hope until they breathe their last breath. I don't know if they're elect or not elect. You know, that's not my concern, and it's not your concern either to know whether you're elect or not elect. The scriptures say, whomsoever will. And when you enter in, you'll know I'm one of the elect. You're not called to know, am I elect, and then I'm going to turn to the Lord. But all God's elect will be saved infallibly and without doubt to the very end, kept by the good shepherd of their souls, and I will lose nothing, he says. Nothing. Not even me. Not even you. And sometimes I wonder how it had to be a great salvation that Christ could save a sinner like me and keep me through all the things I've been through and done and never lose me, never fall away, never quit loving me. It's truly amazing. I don't know about you people, but I'm amazed at it all.
Yeah.
That he could love me so much and keep me and sustain me and forgive me and cleanse me and be with me and walk with me and sustain me.
Yeah.
Hear him about true freedom. And that's especially true for these men at the mission who are, most of them are, they got alcohol and drug problems. They've been in chains of sin. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus speaking again says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, the slave of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Rest, freedom, spiritual life, spiritual satisfaction, only to be found in Christ alone. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Very exclusive. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He speaks of life. Hear him. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life," not probationary everlasting life, "and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Everlasting life. He that hears my words, hear him. If there's someone in this room today who hasn't heard him, by God's grace, may you hear him today. Hear him. "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, what more could we ask for? Really, what more could a man ask for? That's why Jesus is called the desire of nations, I believe, because everything a man desires is found in Christ. Everything man looks for is in reality is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in things of this world. The man tries and seeks and does. Never any satisfaction, never any peace, never any rest, never any joy. Hear him talk of true peace. John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you." The world can't give you peace anyway. The world's peace is very fleeting, amen? "Let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Yeah. Hear him. Hear him. "These things I have spoken to you," John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken to you," hear him, "that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In the world you'll have tribulation. You know, when I think about peace, I got to go back to Psalms chapter 40, verse 2. Psalm 40, verse 2. It says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Now that word, "he brought me also up out of a horrible pit," the marginal reading is, "a pit of noise." I don't know if you can relate to that, but when I was in the world, and that's how the world is for sinners. It's confusing, noisy, loud, raucous. There's no peace in it. It's a pit of noise. That's why I like that marginal reading. It's a pit of noise, confusion, chaos, hurt, harm, destruction, a pit of noise. There's no peace in it. There's no rest in it. It's just on and on and on, and you can't shut it out. But he brought me out of that pit of noise, amen? That's why if you read Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me down, lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The marginal read under that is waters of quietness. Oh, quietness, peace in heart, quietness in the tribulations and the trials, those storms that beat upon that house that was on the rock. In the midst of that house, the man was in peace because his house was built on the rock. Quietness and peace. No more the pit of noise, waters of quietness. Oh, thank you, Lord, for quiet my heart. There's times when I was unsaved, I used to think, man, I've got to get somewhere or do something. I've maybe shared it before. On my way back to my hometown from WVU, I went to West Virginia University. Wasted my time there. I got an expensive piece of paper that hangs on the wall. But I used to be driving home sometimes, my hometown, which is about 60 miles away, and sometimes I'd be driving by and I'd look at these houses out in the country, and I would think, I'd like to just pull into the driveway and get out and go sit down in the chair and just be in peace. You know, you're looking for peace, but there was no peace because I was in that pit of noise and confusion and dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, but my heart longed for peace. I don't know if you can't relate to that or not, but peace. And with peace, there's true joy. Let's hear him about true joy. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Wow. Can it be? Is the Lord speaking the truth? Is he just giving us some pie-in-the-sky homilies, you know, feel-good-isms? Or is the Lord speaking the truth about peace and joy and rest and life and freedom? Is he speaking the truth? Of course he is. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life, full of grace and truth. Why do we seek our joy in other things? And our joy is so fleeting when we're putting it in other things. But he is our joy. He is our peace. He is our freedom. He is our life. He is our satisfaction. Amen. Let's hear him what he says about what is necessary to be fruitful and our total dependence upon him. John chapter 15, verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing. That's a pretty broad statement, isn't it? It's like one commentator said, we can do nothing that is spiritually good, no, not anything at all, be it little or great, easy or difficult. We cannot think a good thought, speak a good word, or do a good action, can neither begin one, nor when it's begun to perform it to completion. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in Christ, you know, and that's where a branch, I always like to think of that branch. That branch rests in Christ. You know, that branch can't tell him, please provide more for me. A branch, you know, and I relate to this because I do landscaping and lawn maintenance for business. Those plants, they're not struggling, wondering whether the root's going to supply them water and food and nutrition. It does, or else they die. So we're in Christ. We rest in him that he will provide all that we need to stand and be strong and persevere and be fruitful, amen? I don't have to beg him to supply the need. He is willing, amen, and able, and wants to. Let's hear him about love, his love and our love. John 15, verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. Yeah. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, Now, this applies to me and you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He is the life, the way. He's our love. I thank the Lord. You know, that commandment, what is a great commandment? You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Impossible. I had a friend tell me once, he was in a Sunday school class, and the teacher stood up and said, "Do you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind?" And, of course, no one was brave enough to raise their hand, so he said, "You're all going to hell." But see, Jesus has loved the Lord thy God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind, and he has loved his neighbor as himself, and his life is my life. He is the sustainer, and he is mine. He, in Christ, I love Lord God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. And in Christ, I love my neighbor as myself. I can't do anything else but. Apart from him, I can do nothing. Amen. I sure can't fulfill the great commandment. But that is a commandment. Hear ye him. Love one another as I have loved you. That's a pretty high standard, people. And you can't meet it in yourself. So you got to seek to the Lord. And he promised to meet your need. Amen. He doesn't command something, then not provide the way to do it. It's God who works in you both to will and to do. Amen? Let's hear about great love. John chapter 17, verse 23. John 17, verse 23. He's speaking, he says, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me." Yeah. Now, is he speaking just another pie in the sky verb here? Or is he trying to throw out some sweet smelling nothing? I believe what Jesus Christ says, don't you? Yeah. Hear him. "As thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me." That's forever. Those whom God loves, he's always has loved. Amen. He's loved us in Christ since before. His love has always been upon us. He didn't start loving us at some time. He didn't send Jesus to pay for my sins so that he could love me. He sent Jesus to pay for my sins because he did love me.
Right.
"As thou hast loved them, thou hast loved me." That's too amazing to even believe. It's too amazing to grasp that God could love us in such a great love. But he only loves us because he sees us in his Son, whom he loves with a great love. He sees us in the dear beloved. Amen. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Oh, what a promise that is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Through life and death, amen? That you're not going to fall away. I will that they be with me where I am. "That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." Oh, that means he loved me and you from before the foundation of the world. And it's God's will, Christ's prayer, that we be with him in glory to behold his true glory, not like the glory on the Sermon of Mount, on the Mount of Transfiguration, that glory was fleeting, and that was just a fraction of his glory. Man could never behold his true glory. It would destroy him. But we're going to behold it one day. "Oh, righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and have known that you have sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love which you has loved me may be in them, and I in them." Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't that what the scripture says? Now, there's one more thing I can add in that he wants us to hear about the completion of the work, the totality of the work, all things necessary to save a sinner, when he spoke those words on the cross, it is finished.
Yeah.
He's not calling upon me to perform a task or do something. No matter what it called him on me to do, no matter how little it was, I'd fail in doing it. If you had to earn your salvation, woe unto you. But his words, hear him. It is finished. We enter into his work, amen, and we find rest. We're no longer striving to please God because we find Christ is to please God for me on my behalf. And he's my promise of heaven. He's my promise of security. He's my promise of peace, life, truth, all things needed. It's in him and him alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen. Thank you. And I pray God would bless the word to your hearing. And if I spoke anything unseemly or out of place, may God make it all straight and right. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Roger. That was a blessing. If you hadn't heard the gospel before,